Hi, I'm Jess.
And I'm George.
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 And this is
Transpantastic,
a podcast about gender, identity, orientation, and all the life that happens between it, or on top of it lately, not in a fun way.
We still haven't gotten any on top of, because you're still sick.
Yeah.
So,
I just want to say it's pretty amazing that we are sitting in front of this microphone today, because we have had a hell of a time going on here.
We have.
With my health being the biggest culprit, and yours being second or third, depending on what one of the children is doing that day.
Correct.
So.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. We hope so, anyway. I keep hoping so.
And in the interest of giving ourselves an easy day, we're going to look back on your transition for the next couple of episodes.
Yes, and it's good timing for that because I am on T for 4 years.
Happy fourth maniversary.
Thank you, dear.
We totally missed the third maniversary with regards to recording. I mean, we didn't miss it personally. I mentioned it and you mentioned it, but we never made it into the podcast because life was a little nuts then, I think.
I can't think of what was happening, but I always can accept that life was a little nuts because that's what it does around here.
Oh, fuck, does it ever.
So.
Looking back on your transition.
Yep.
What were some of the most memorable moments or some things that really stick out in your mind?
I probably will not think of everything because I've been quite so sick that thinking is not happening. However, there are things that are going to stand out anyway. And some of those are things I'm sure I'll never forget. And that first one is the first thing that happened of realizing on the day that I realized it that I didn't have to stay stuck anymore. I could transition.
I'm transgender, and I've recently decided to do my transition. And by recently, I mean very recently, a month ago, maybe 3.5 weeks ago. And that's a long time coming because I've been definitely on this path since I was, you know, a toddler and certainly remember being on this path since 5 years old.
Yeah.
So that week, I came home somewhere between the gym and the house and decided I could not take it for another moment of my life.
You're done.
I was so done being a girl. That was it. And when I realized that, when that thought was conscious, I thought, that's it. I am really done. I could be done.
You can be done.
I could be done. And I am ready to be done. Quick. I'm going to do something about it right now. And I was ready to start doing stuff. And then I thought, maybe I should wait till my wife gets home from work and talk to her. Tell her what I'm thinking.
It's because you're a considerate husband.
I try. I really try. So I did that. And my wife, of course, is very supportive, as I knew she would be.
That realization, the freedom of that realization, the happiness of it, like a big light. Finally got to the light at the end of the tunnel I didn't know was there because there were so many damn curves in the tunnel or something, you know?
Right.
But anyhow, so that realization of, oh, I don't have to do this anymore. I can do it the way I want to. Oh, that is so fucking great. Let me do that like right this instant.
So I have been trying to get an appointment at the endocrinologist because I am, you know, a late bloomer here. I'm not transitioning in my 20s or my 30s. So I'd like to talk to the endocrinologist and kind of get the medical stuff mapped out before I just venture off into having to do some therapy, which obviously sounds very fun to me.
There's also the fact that you've been through a lot of those early stages of the standards of care. You kind of worked those out a long time.
I've been here a long time, and I realize that I'll have to do whatever they need me to do, but I'd like to get the medical part mapped out.
Right.
So, you know, I have this insurance, the kind that you don't need permission to go to the specialist. So I look at the list and there's somebody on there that I know somebody else has used for another transition. And then I thought, okay, so I call this doctor's office and they say, well, they've moved. They moved from, you know, one small town to another. And so they're not able to process the insurance stuff right now because insurance company has to recertify them. So I think, okay, because I'm not the type of person who gives up so easily. I like to find the way around a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I usually think there is a way around the problem. Actually, I always do think there is a way around the problem. So
I like that about you.
Thank you. So I called the insurance company and I said, look, my doctor recommends that I see this endocrinologist. However, she's moved her office and you guys don't have her certified right now. So they look it up and they say, oh, she's in this town. And I say, no, she moved to this town. And they say, oh, yes, we see that now. And yes, she is in the process of recertifying. And what you need to do is have your primary care doctor request an authorization. So I've been trying to get my primary care doctor to request an authorization, and we go back and forth, and we leave messages, and finally I sit there for 3 hours last week, and they say, yes, you did need to come in here so we could write all this down on a piece of paper, and then we could put it in the computer and request the authorization.
Aren't you glad you did that?
I'm glad I did that, but I'm not glad I had to do that.
No.
So
this seems like a big runaround.
Oh, it's been a runaround. I could have gave lots more details than that about the running around and around.
And around.
You know, okay, so knowing how the insurance company is and how the doctor's office is, I called the insurance company today and I say, my doctor is supposed to have sent in a request for authorization. And they look and look and they say, nope, there's nothing here. And I'm just ready to choke somebody every time I get to one of these round and round things. And that found in the merry-go-round, I'd like to get off the ride now. So then I just thought, the hell with this, and got in the car and drove over there to the doctor's office and said, I need to see my doctor's assistant, Anne. When she came out to get me a little while later, she's always got this kind of weird look on her face, like, uh-oh, okay.
This guy again,
what? Okay, what are we going to do with you? What is it you need? You don't look very happy, uh-oh. And I'm like looking at her like, no, I am not very happy. Could you guys process the damn paperwork?
Right.
So she checked it out, and my file was on top of the list there, and it was good I went in because the person processing this didn't realize that the office had moved, and so I gave her the whole information on the rigmarole, and I don't trust them as far as I can throw them because I haven't gotten any permission to go see the endocrinologist yet.
No.
So it's very frustrating.
Terribly.
In the meantime, we do have like other life going on, which is why we say, you know, it's about gender and orientation and all this other stuff that we have. So I wanted to talk about that because, as my wife has pointed out, certainly I imagine other guys, other women, and other folks will go through lots of trials and other situations just to, you know, kind of normalize the craziness of trying to get this thing started. I feel like, you know, I finally decided to do this. Can we just get this thing on the road here? And I could probably say that about 12 different ways, so
yeah,
I'll stop there.
Mm-hmm. In the long run, having waited only a month compared to a lot of people's transition, you really are still not doing too bad, but I know it doesn't feel that way when you're in the moment.
No, and I'm just going to be impatient because I'd like to have the other half of my life start now.
So that's probably the biggest one and is the first thing.
And what were some of the things that made you feel like now was the time as opposed to any of the other times that you had considered it or even started it? What made this time different?
That it was possible, because in the past, when I thought it was possible, there were other barriers, personal life barriers that I had taken on and responsibilities. And so really, I had lost track. I had lost track of that option in all those things I was supposed to, needed to be doing, which involved a lot of other people and not myself.
I was telling my family I was a boy, probably as soon as I could talk. I was telling them when I was 3, which I've told you this story before. My grandmother promptly bought me a Beanie Boy doll, thinking that I wanted a doll, a boy. You know, that was the best she could understand.
Well, what do you want for your birthday, George?
I'd like to be a boy.
A Beanie Boy. Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, something like that.
No.
Yeah, especially when you're 3. And
you talk in 3-year-oldies.
Yes, you do. And you watch Beanie Boy on Saturday mornings or whenever it was on. So there you have it.
I think you just dated yourself.
I did. I did. But as I said, I spent many years before being a parent.
Yes.
So, I mean many.
Mm-hmm. So continue, love.
Okay. So, you know, I was that 5-year-old who wanted to marry the girl next door. And as I became a teenager, I really had that disparity of I really wanted to believe that it could still happen. I could still become a boy. I was sure of it because there was nothing else to hold on to, probably.
And you were looking at the books at the library.
Yeah, then I don't remember how I ended up doing that, but I did. I go to the library, the public library, and look for books on transsexual process and surgery and information. And that's what I decided to do. By the time I was 14, I had decided that's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did a bunch of other things. In the meantime, I attended some church type cult thing with my parents.
Yep.
And got a little lost in that for a while. And then when I got out of there and came out again as a queer, I was hanging out with gays and lesbians. And at that time, my best friend, who was a lesbian, said, well, why don't you just be a lesbian? Wouldn't that be easier?
And when you're, you know, in your late teens and early 20s and you're just so focused on getting laid, hey, that'll work.
It seemed like a damn good idea to me.
No
it was
kidding.
A lot sooner than anything else I could come up with.
Yes.
And she was pretty specific about that description. She was like, so you like girls? And I was like, yes. And she said, so you like want to take their clothes off? And I said, yes. And she said, okay, well, why don't you just try this first? And I said, okay, sure, I'll try that. And it worked, so.
You made it work that. For 20-some-odd years.
I did, but I also realized lately I had a very different body then. I was, I don't know how much, over 100 pounds, couldn't have been too much. And ironically, I never have thought of myself as small because I have a sibling who's much smaller than me, and so I always thought I was big.
Yes.
And there were a lot of small people in my family, like my grandparents.
Yeah. In the environment you came up in,
I felt big.
Were fairly big.
Yeah.
And your wife has 4 inches on you now.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem to faze me most of the time.
That's good.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Unless I'm trying not to kink my neck, if I'm trying to give you a kiss or something. So the whole process was a big deal, and I probably hadn't even considered money, you know, what this would cost yet. So my body was very different. Until my mid-30s, I was like this. I had no chest. I had what I called a minus A cup. I wore, like, Dago tees underneath a shirt, and that was it. I didn't even need, like, t-shirt bras or anything like that because I didn't have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a problem for me. So I was really comfortable in my body in that sense. And probably in 97, 98, I was living in San Francisco and had just gotten my graduate degree. And so there was a lot of trans guys in the, like, SF Weekly, and it was pretty, you know, more prominent than ever.
Yeah.
And I decided to go ahead, and I had gone to a clinic there in San Francisco and started working on that. And then my partner and I, at that time, we were moving out of San Francisco. And seemed like it would be a good time to do it because we're moving to a much smaller place, which is where you and I are now.
Yes.
And that it would be easier, possibly easier for me here as a man, not considering, of course, how long a process could take and so forth. But it really, unfortunate wording, petered out.
Oh.
Yeah. Because there wasn't support. There were too many other things to take care of, and those things took precedent. And so it got shelved. And I also, one of the reasons it got shelved is because I always questioned, couldn't I just deal with the body I had and be myself? The cult thing I had gotten involved in was very Eastern religion-based. And so I thought a lot about karma and reincarnation and things like that, and thinking, well, here I am in this body, and so I probably need to deal with it. Not thinking about, well, maybe dealing with it is changing it. You
know? Oh.
I didn't think of that, yeah.
Huh.
So I just dealt with myself for a long time, and I was really busy taking care of too many other things. And then 13 years later, I got divorced.
Yep.
And went out on my own with a son. We had ended up finally with children in our lives. And so I was busy parenting, and this role of mom, which I didn't like the word mom, so I went for mama.
Yep.
The mama role was this whole other world to deal with of how people interact with you. Oh, you're not just a butch dyke, you're a mama.
Mm-hmm.
There's some respect there. And I understand why, because this stuff is not easy at all.
No.
So that was an interesting experience to see that happening and, you know, coming at me, basically, because that's how it was. It came at me. Here's our son, and you're our parent, and since you're in charge of everything, there you go.
And in that relationship, you really were.
Well, I was most of the time. At the beginning of having the kids there. Bless you. The dog is just
sneezing.
Yeah. Dog sneezing.
Okay.
She might do it a few more times or so. Anyhow, more recently, just at the time after the divorce, I started having some changes going on because of my age and because of some health circumstances that had happened. And what's happened in the meantime is I have a relationship that is supportive of whoever I am. And not only that, but because of the support overall that we try to give each other in having a functional relationship.
I like that functional thing.
It's kind of cool. Yeah. It freaks us out sometimes because we're not sure what to do. But
yeah, neither of us had functional last time around.
Yeah. Well, we had some function at some point. At least we thought so. Having that support overall to be who I was and not having to carry other things to be done, let me be more of who I was. And the changes that were happening with the menopause type thing, kind of prompted by some misplaced steroid treatment for a health condition I didn't have.
They thought you had asthma.
Yeah, I didn't. I had whooping cough, which has a vaccination now, and I've gotten that again. But that prompted some things, and that's mostly what you've experienced with me is all these changes, but you seem to have a pretty good sense, at least the way I feel, of who I am.
Yeah.
You know, besides all this other
that's just the
crap
body
that
you
we
live
deal
in.
With. Yeah, this is the body I live in, and sometimes it's really thrown me on some rides lately.
It has.
I'm like, what the hell is this? So going through trying to handle that over the last couple of years with trying to cope with the changes that were going on and how I felt about them, somehow it finally jogged from the way back of my mind. It probably was jogging forward for a while there, and it finally landed right in front of me, like really like wham. I'm like, I am so sick of this. And I'm like, wait a second. I don't have to do this.
Yay.
I can change this. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited.
Yay.
I was like, wow, I can change this. And it's totally, completely feasible to do this in every aspect.
So that was one of them. And there being a lot of people in my visibility that were transitioning, including our lawyer friend and lots of people in the media and so forth. You know, I also felt discouraged when I knew what the surgery options were, you know, 20 years ago. And I just didn't feel that that would work well for me. And also, you know, over the period of time from when I was, you know, 13 or 14 and decided I should transition, and then the realization of what it would take to do it and the things that stopped me along the way of access and money and so forth, the whole plan just had gotten lost. And the day that I remembered that it had existed and knew that, you know, you would support me, my life would support me at this time, it just felt like it was time.
Good.
I didn't want to live the rest of my life like that anymore. And so,
hooray, you don't have to.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Hooray.
So you promptly set about getting it done, but it wasn't terribly easy.
No, I promptly set about getting it done is exactly what happened. And I did some more of it and some more of it, some more of it.
The annoying fag. And I know that's
You're
not
so
a nice
mean.
Way to do it. I'm not going to say that anymore. I won't say it anymore.
He is,
and it's not nice. I mean, I guess I'm used to being able to say that kind of stuff, and I'll have to learn to stop that because, you know.
Because you're not gay anymore.
I'm a straight guy, and it's not nice.
So tell us about Mr. Annoying.
Mr. Annoying. I did end up calling his boss and a few other people.
Start at the beginning, because why did you have to call his boss? What?
The messages he left me were snotty. They were purely snotty. And I'd leave a message saying, the insurance company says they can give me an authorization letter to see Dr. C, even though you guys are still in the process because of her move from office to office. Insurance company's got it cleared. And
scheduling
I need
receptionist.
I need to know, you know, how you would like to handle this.
Right.
And he would just call back and say, well, you can't see Dr. So-and-so because we are not cleared for that insurance right now. And I'm like, okay. And then it would be a message. So then you have to call back and leave a message and you get a call 24 to 72 hours later to try to have this conversation again. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to solve the problem, and the insurance company is totally batting for me. They are trying to get me this endocrinology appointment. They realize, yes, this is a doctor that's been on our list. Yes, we can help you see the doctor.
The doctor is not currently on our list because she has changed practices, but she has previously been approved. We can approve you now.
And other people on her current practice are approved on our plan, so we can do this.
Yes.
And these things were addressed very unprofessionally, and I was feeling, and a couple of my colleagues at work they were hearing these conversations as well, and these messages, were questioning, what is going on here? Why is this not getting resolved, and why is he leaving you messages like that? So I decided to find out who to talk to, and we, you know, checked a few places, did some emailing, did some calling around. They didn't seem too surprised at the front desk when I asked for his supervisor. Yeah, although his supervisor says she's never had a complaint about him before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that if he does treat somebody else the way he treated me, that they do complain right away.
Yes.
Because she didn't seem to get that because he was gay, you know, her opinion was that he couldn't be discriminating because he's had his own problems with discrimination in his life. And I tried to re-educate her on that a little and said, that's not the message I'm getting. And so even if he's not discriminating, I shouldn't be receiving that message. And that could be within the queer community, that could be, it's quite prominent. It happens.
Yeah.
So she didn't seem to buy it, but she was listening to me. I could tell she was listening. And if she hears this again, it's gonna strike her.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he's going to knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
The very next message or phone call I got from him, he was very professional.
So that discrimination issue and trying to get the insurance matter covered was months long?
It went on for some weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the insurance company was like, why are they not getting the letter signed and sending it back to us?
Mm-hmm.
So finally they decided, you know, one person over there decided to track it herself and make sure it got done. And because I had also gone to the other end to the supervisor, who was also going to make sure it got done, it finally got done.
Yay!
I know. Now, I'd like to see her before I believe that this is happening and he hasn't set me up for some time that suddenly she's not going to be there that day.
Yeah.
So.
Well, didn't he originally give you an appointment? You went ahead and scheduled with the other endo at the same practice.
His boss gave me an alternative, and that was for about... What, 5 weeks out or 6 weeks out or something?
Yeah.
She said that if they could get the letter taken care of with the insurance company, if they could manage their end of it, they could then get me in to see the doctor of my choice, who has lots of appointments available. I wonder why.
Oh.
So I kept the appointment that was several weeks out, and very full week, I already had an appointment. The insurance company said they were already, you know, on this and would call me as soon as they had the letter.
Mm-hmm.
So trusting the insurance company, as odd as that might sound for most people, because that's not usually the process.
No, but they've actually been really good.
They've been super, yeah. So I left it alone, and then I got a message saying from Mr. Annoying.
Yes.
Saying, good news, we've gotten the letter taken care of, and I can get you in to see Dr. C. Please give me a call. So,
very brief, very professional, very...
Yeah. Of course, it's a message, so then I have to call back and leave a message and wait 36 or 72 hours or something.
Mm.
So I did get actually live and in person as I'm, you know, about to park the car, and so I just pulled into somebody's spot and sat there and made the appointment. And that appointment is in 2 weeks.
Yay!
2 weeks. I like went to the endo, finally got in there with the appointment and all the right stuff in line. And it was rather, to me, it seemed rather uneventful. She asked me a little about my history and a lot about my health, and then basically said, okay, I think you should go talk to the surgeon first and figure out if you can stay on testosterone through the top surgery or not, and then come back and see me.
Now, did you bring that up originally? Did you bring up the issue of having seen people needing to wait? Or did she?
I mentioned it and I regretted it.
Oh.
Yeah, I mentioned
it. I'm sorry.
I had a lot of questions I was asking her.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying not to have too many regrets and just go with the flow here.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I'm not pleased with the flow, but I'm trying to go with it because it's what I've got.
Doing a whole heck of a lot better than I probably would be.
I think the reason she decided that has a lot to do with my age and the concerns I was talking to her about as far as menopause-type symptoms and not wanting to have any roller coaster rides that I was dragging my family along. When I have the picture of dragging my family on the roller coaster ride, it has to do with they're hanging outside the cart screaming.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's not nice.
No.
The hormone thing is just not nice. So I think she was being cautious about that. I don't know, though. She seemed distracted. I don't think I can really figure that much of it out except do what I need to do. And she said, go see the surgeon. So I went right to my car and called two of them to try to get a
good job
consultation as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, the first one I actually reached, could see me in 3 weeks. And the other one can see me in a week.
That's good.
So I'm going to do both of those and find out. If I go to the first one and they say, yes, you can be on TUL, you have the surgery, then I can go right back to the endocrinologist and say, okay, we're good. And if they say no, then I want to get to the second consultation before I schedule anything. But I'm very likely at that point to just go ahead and schedule this because I don't want to play anymore.
Schedule the surgery.
I would schedule and get the top surgery done and then start the T, which is not what I expected. I mean, everything I've read, everything I've heard has been guys starting T and then, I mean, most of them, a large majority of them, starting hormones first and then going back and doing. And only some few ones that I've seen lately on YouTube talking about having to be off T for a period of time before and after the surgery due to healing or bleeding or something.
Right.
Concerns by the surgeon. So that's where I'm at. I spent 2 months trying to get an appointment with the endocrinologist, and I got there, and now I need to talk to a surgeon before I can do anything else.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Humph. Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, and a few other things too, but I've calmed down.
What else did you think, George?
I calmed down about it in the meantime.
Yes.
I thought I had not been thinking good enough about the whole approach or not getting enough information or that kind of stuff, like what I could have done to change this and make it not be taking so long to get information and not with a little bit of more perspective, which is, I'm sure, only slight compared to what I'll eventually have. I can see that that's all the information you can get right now. I mean, there's not a lot of places to get information where we're at.
No.
And our local situation is different than other places.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling like it's taking a long time because it has taken me a long time to get here overall.
Yeah. And when you waited as long as you did all those years, you know, you're really not in a rush to wait some more.
No. Well said.
And it was frustrating. But the next really big thing, and I think that is true for most people transitioning, is my first application of hormones, my first shot in my case. The excitement of, you know, the prescription. And then the further excitement of actually getting your hands on the substance that is the prescription, which was the day after.
And taking your little phone, upside down phone video of the nurse giving you your shot so that I could see, you know, where it goes and what to do.
Yeah.
That made me laugh.
Yeah.
I saw the doctor at the clinic. I was very clear on the paperwork. I am here for hormone treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Got that, you know, ironed out right away.
There were some communication issues with the previous doctor.
There was, yeah, more than communication issues, but
yeah,
is right. The paperwork I mentioned to you was kind of fun because it includes everything that I could think of, which, of course, in being words, might be talking about what they're saying, but included, like, okay, so what's your identified gender and what was your
assigned
sex at birth? And in talking about sexual orientation, it just had a blank so you could fill it in. And I had to think about that because I thought, well,
according to your birth sex, you're gay. And according to your identity, you're straight.
And I thought, well, what these things have in common is it's women that I am attracted to. So I wrote towards women.
Good job.
Yes. My sexual orientation is towards women. I think that's clear enough.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that was cool. I liked the paperwork that way. And the doc was just very easy to deal with. It was like, you know, this clinic, this is the teeny weeny itsy bitsy gender clinic.
In our teeny weeny itsy bitsy town.
Yeah. That I would never suspect could sprout up right there, but there it is. And I'm really super glad it did because they're so easy to deal with. They're so nice. And of course you're here for hormone treatment. Things are not right for you. And so it was very easy. And it was, okay, I'll be right back with your prescription. And I'm just sitting there stunned because, you know,
they this didn't has been... make you jump through any hoops.
No hoops of fire, no hot coals to walk on.
Bed of nails.
No, nothing like that.
No.
And
hallelujah.
I was kind of in shock, and she came back with the prescription, and I had signed a really long 5-page informed consent, specifically regarding the medication, the testosterone. And it was, that's what I was reading while she was getting the prescription. It was very thorough. And she came back and gave me the prescription and was talking to me. And so I thought, okay, I need to get this filled pronto.
Yep.
Before like it disappears or something. So I go out to the car, I put it on the seat to take a picture to send my wife, and I look at it, and my last name is spelled wrong.
Oh!
The letter that is next to the letter that should have been there in the name, the one that's next to it on the keyboard, was the one that was there.
Oh!
So that was what was wrong. And I was like, ugh, okay,
is the pharmacy going to take this? Is this going to be a problem? I'm still parked right here. I'm going to go back in. So I went back in, and the girls at the desk are like, okay, you're there again. Wonder what's going on. And I explained to them that my name was spelled wrong, and they said, well, we just fixed that in the computer, so it should be fine. I said, but will the pharmacy take that? And they said, where are you going? And I said, well, I usually go to like CVS or something near my house. And they said, oh, well, you could just go next door to our pharmacy and it would already be in the computer.
You have a pharmacy as well as the whole clinic here.
Yeah. And I had seen the pharmacy door, but I just thought near our house is easy.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, here are my lunch time and I need to get rolling. So let me go next door. That seems terribly convenient and easy. And I went next door and gave it to them. And sure enough, my name was correct in the computer.
Yay.
So that was great. And I had some hesitation. And in part was the pharmacist came back and said, well, we don't have this in stock, but we can have it by tomorrow. And I thought,
at a gender clinic, they're out of testosterone.
I know. That's what some other people have said. Okay, you're out of that. Okay. Well, you know, that's part of their clinic. So that's the itsy bitsy teeny weeny part.
Yes.
And I thought, okay, will they really get it tomorrow? Do I need to find this somewhere else? Can I find it today? How much trouble will that be? I'll wait till tomorrow. And reluctantly handed over my precious piece of paper and went off to the gym.
Good job.
The next day, they called me early. They had said 1:30 it would be in, but they called me 2 hours earlier. And they said, okay, your prescription's ready. And I was like, okay, I'll be there before 1:30. And they said they were closed for lunch from 12:30 to 1 or some funny time. Then I sat there for a second and I thought, why am I not going now? Now seems like a good time to go. I'll go now.
Okay.
And then I'll go right to the gym.
Yes.
Because that's my lunch hour. I went there and picked up the prescription and wasn't, you know, the doctor had said they would give me needles for the injection at the pharmacy, but that time we were talking about CVS. So we're not at CVS. They don't give you those because they can give them to me at the clinic next door. So I'm a little confused. The pharmacist is a little confused. What should we do? Okay, I'll just go next door. Did a walk-in for the nurse to do the demonstration and give me the instructions on how to do the testosterone injection. And so I went in, and the nurse saw me and explained, you know, how to make sure everything's clean, how to load this testosterone up with a bigger needle, and then change it to the smaller one to stick yourself in the arse.
Yep.
Or have your wife do the stick yourself in the arse because it's a hard angle. She pointed out this is a difficult angle to do by yourself. And I said, I'll ask my wife to do that.
Yep.
And I took a nice upside down video.
It was upside down. It was kind of great.
Down. Yeah.
I turned the laptop over so I could watch it.
That's cool. Because if you try to do that on your phone or your iPad, it turns itself over too, and then you keep turning over it.
So, yeah,
the whole thing, it's hard to view. And I didn't feel anything. I mean, physically with the needle, and people are scared of needles, and I'm not terribly scared of needles. I don't think they're great, but I didn't feel the shot at all. And I thought, okay, that's cool. Pretty much didn't feel anything like pain or soreness or bruising. You said, do you have a bruise? Let's see. When I got home, no bruise. So I didn't feel it at the gym. I didn't feel it pretty much overall, with one exception.
Oh, you did feel it.
I did. Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. The next morning, as I'm dropping children off at the school, and I'm going to give son number two some extra loveys because he's been a little bit needing that.
He's
more affection.
Clingy and affection hungry, yes.
So I wanted to make sure he got some loveys before I left.
Good job,
and
Dad.
I squatted down. Thank you. I squatted down to give him a hug, and he's a pretty physical guy, so he slammed me. And normally this just, you know, would be okay.
He knocked you over to give you a hug.
He did.
No big deal. He does that all the time.
He does this kind of stuff. I was in a more precarious position trying to fit myself into the next to the tiny little tables and chairs in there. So
yes.
But I did land right on my arse, right where the shot had been, and
direct hit to the injection site.
Yes.
He's going down.
I went down hard.
Oh.
I couldn't believe it.
Oh.
It was like, I thought to myself, this is like what, to me, it was like being kicked in the balls. Because I was cross-eyed, I couldn't talk, he's standing there looking at me like, hey, what's going on? Okay, never mind. You know, you're my parent, and obviously you'll be okay. And
parents are always okay.
I had the hardest time, like, even getting anything out, and I couldn't believe the amount of pain. And I have high pain tolerance overall.
You do?
I have super high pain tolerance. I mean, the pain tolerance that I have, usually I have to be totally hurling before I go, oh, well, I guess it's hurting in there, and I need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So pain is not usually an issue. So this was really surprising, you know, shocking amount of pain. And it was really amazingly hurting.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So that was kind of funny when I realized what was going on. And I stopped saying, ouch, and could speak again and see what I was doing and get to my car.
And talk about what you're saying.
Yeah. Since then, the other effects of the testosterone, the first one is that I am calmer. I am extremely calmer. I am not rattled constantly or even periodically by children.
And you were really hurting.
I was, yeah.
Yeah, the menopause thing had really thrown you for a loop and you were just completely...
insane.
Incapable of dealing with young people, like, at all.
I did my best, and it was uncomfortable. Very, very, very uncomfortable. I don't feel any of that now. And I'm like, oh, well, this is happening at dinner, and I like this chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Turn and face the table. Yeah. I'm eating my dinner.
That's another joke. We'll get to that.
Turn and face the table. I'm eating my dinner. Don't put that in your nose. I'm eating my dinner. Turn and face the table. I'm eating my dinner.
Your fingers don't go in your cup. And I didn't have that before the weekend with the kids.
No. So
sometimes I have this anticipation anxiety, or I have for a long time, of, oh my God, we have all three kids all weekend. Ugh. And in anticipation of getting overwhelmed, they get overwhelmed. And it didn't happen this week.
I didn't notice that at the time. I did notice that you have been, in general, just more in control of your own emotions. But I didn't notice that
specifically.
Don't
have the overwhelming emotions to control. That was the problem before. There were so many damn uncontrolled emotions that I was trying to keep in their place so they didn't harm anybody permanently. And it's awful. It's awful to feel like that.
It is.
I feel like myself more.
Oh, very good.
And it really feels great.
And so once you got on T, you started seeing some things changing.
Yes, and that was probably the next thing that was very exciting.
What were some things that changed that, like, either surprised you or pleased you or...
The initial changes, because they happened quicker than I thought they would, even though, you know, there's a lot of changes any trans person might find themselves waiting on. My voice changing, my muscle distribution and muscle mass, my face and neck, you know, my face squaring off and my neck as the muscles were bulking up from the testosterone.
Having your neck got bigger.
Yeah. And having, like, my friend notice that when they came over and say, you know, George, your face looks different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you don't see it maybe when you're looking in the mirror every day.
Right.
You're all manly and stuff.
Thanks. That's the point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Glad you like it.
I do.
Me too.
Yeah. So all that tea is doing good things for you.
And my wife has pointed out that my hairline, at least on one side, the left side, has moved. It's very funny to me that I didn't even notice it, and it's on one side, and that it's such an odd retreat.
That's because you don't dye your own hair. You have me do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, your hairline has receded, but only on
one side.
That's great.
You sure? Here, check.
Yes, it's further back on the right.
Okay, so body hair. I'm hairy.
You are hairy.
And hairier and hairier.
And hairier.
Yeah.
Yeah, your leg hair is coming up and your middle hair is going down and you have a little strip in the middle that still doesn't have anything and it's
kinda
cute.
Just a little hairier everywhere.
You are.
My fingers.
Your ears.
My ears.
So, yes.
What's this about face shape?
Your face is squarer. Your jaw muscles are angular much more so than they used to be.
Which was one of the first things that anyone noticed.
Yes.
My good friend, when him and his wife were over a couple of weeks after I had been on tea, and they noticed that. So that was the first thing, but if you say so.
I do.
I believe you. And muscles are still good, and I've been actually lazy this week and have hardly worked out.
But they're
probably the same.
Months since we've updated about your
now
tea levels.
Everything has doubled. All my weights have doubled, whereas before there were some lagging.
Right.
All of them have at least doubled.
Good.
So I do have less chest as my body fat has been redistributing, you know,
yeah,
everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And so they're smaller. And I have reached this stage of baby face stage.
Yes, which you see that on a lot of guys' videos, that if you're watching their 1 year or 2 years on T, that somewhere between month 4 and month 10, they hit about a month and a half of being a little chubby everywhere, like their body fat has redistributed from their hips and chest to their whole freaking body.
And some of that, I thought that I would be able to manage. I didn't want to gain too much fat, so I've been exercising and trying to be conscious of all my body needs as far as food and exercise and such. And there seems to be no way around that. That's just going to happen anyway, because
yes,
I've seen it happen to other guys. Some of them exercise, some some of them don't, and I'm just at a chubby stage of...
Yeah, even the healthy guys end up with a chubby face for
a little
bit. I've
got the chubbiness, and it's not just because I'm a 50-year-old adolescent that wants Cheetos. It's not just because of that.
No, you are a 50-year-old adolescent.
I am.
That's another story.
I'm oily and...
Oh, your face.
Yeah, I had to wash my face right before this podcast because like oil's just pouring into my eye.
No.
I just couldn't see what I was doing. It's distracting.
It is. It is.
So,
I feel bad for you occasionally. All those changes, though, they've like kind of changed the way other people respond to you, too, huh?
They have. They have others' responses to my changes. And
the thing with the girls.
Yeah, I asked you about the
changing
girls.
Changing. And
I said, what's with these girls? I don't know these people. And I'm walking, and some lady will start looking at me and smiling and act a little weird. And then you said,
tummy in, chest out, shoulders back, chin up.
Yeah. And I said, yeah, that's what she did. And you said,
she finds you attractive, even if only subconsciously, and she wants to make a good impression.
And I said, chicks are weird.
Yes, they are.
You agreed with me. That was wild because that was happening.
There was that bear at Pride.
Yeah, that was funny.
Oh,
that was
my
totally
gosh.
Funny because
we were at a Pride event, and I go to a church. I work at the Pride event with my church, and we're all there, and you have number two child there with you coming to visit and talk with me, and we're all tearing down, and we were thinking that I would have to use my car to cart things back from the Pride Festival to the church, and you're standing there with number two child and one of the other guys from my church and some big bear, very faggy bear.
I'm standing there with the guy from church, and he talks to the guy who's walking past, and I'm thinking he's flirting with him because, you know, he's like, hey, I've seen you more times today than I've seen all the people I was here with or something. And I thought, okay, well, obviously
they're two very pretty gay boys and they're just flirting.
That's what I figured. So that guy stopped to talk to us, and what happened is then our friend went to help the other guys that were loading the church stuff back up, and the bear guy was standing there talking to me, and I thought, well, this is funny because now guys talk to me. You know, they read me as a guy and they talk to me. One of the things that really pushed me into wanting to transition is my fellow dudes won't talk to me.
You need to look more like them for them to realize that you're a dude.
Yeah, so that helps.
But then this guy, what was the first question he asked you?
You know, I said something about my son, and he said, so, does your son have another dad? And I'm like, no, actually, because I'm clueless still.
Yes, of course you're clueless. You've always been clueless.
He has a mom. Actually, he has a mom and a stepmom. But, you know, he was talking to me for a while, and anyhow, it was obvious to me at some point, and I probably became a little uncomfortable as it was dawning on me that he's like flirting with me now. The other guy was flirting with him, and of course, this typically happens with people. The one who wants to flirt with the other one, that one doesn't want to flirt back, so then they go and flirt with somebody else, and you know, it's just weird.
And you got to be the somebody else.
I was the somebody else. So then I go to the car where my wife is, and I say, hey, I want to tell you something, because it's really funny, and I told you.
You told me.
I told you. I said I told you.
Okay.
In my head, it sounded like I told you.
Okay.
I don't even know what I told you. But I did tell you.
You did tell me.
I did. I said, I think that this is just what happened, and it's really bizarre to me. So it was funny. It was very funny because I have never before in my life had a bear try to pick me up until last week. There you have it. That was fun.
You know you're passing when the gay men are into you.
That was a happy thing. That was a, wow, this is really working. How great is that?
So once these changes started happening, we knew that you would have to start telling people why these changes were happening because they would start noticing. And it started this bigger coming out process, coming out to the kids, coming out at work.
Right. The changes and the plan for surgery, the chest surgery. So I started T in April, and by August, I had set myself up to have surgery. So it was time to do that. How easy it was to come out to the kids. And remember number two saying, so you'll be my real dad then?
That made me laugh so hard because for so long he had had three moms that he was like all about having a dad because he is very testosterone driven.
He is.
And he gloms onto any potential male role model, no matter how questionable or dismissive of him. He is just absolutely smitten.
He does it less.
He does.
Yeah. I remember him looking at the picture that you have at home, and then you said you have it at work, but me and him when we were at some playground. And
I think it was the playground in San Francisco around the corner from
friend's
house.
We were there for Pride. We had driven to visit my cousin Vinny. And
that was when you broke your ankle. And
yeah. But anyhow, he looked at that picture once and he said, "Hey, whose dad is that?" And I said, "Dude, that's your dad. That's you and me." He goes, "Oh," because he won't wear his glasses.
No, he won't. But once he got up closer, he could tell who it was and what it was. And he was like, "Oh."
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was all excited that he was going to have a dad.
Right.
And our other two kids were just sort of like, "Yeah, okay. Can I have cookies now?"
Yeah. They just wanted ice cream or cookies or something, which is what we were going to do right after.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what else happened is then the biggest kid came over to get her phone fixed.
Yes.
Because it doesn't swim.
No, it doesn't.
Unless you have some kind of special case on it, which apparently the special case
wasn't as special as the person who got it for her said it was.
Yeah. So, yeah, she needed a replacement phone. And conveniently, son number two, who was the child at home, had gone to play with the neighbors.
And we were absolutely boggled at the fact that he would go and play with the neighbors. I thought that was just completely beyond where he was. But
they're kids.
Yeah.
They're all kids. He just wants to play with kids.
Okay.
We are boring. He has made that clear.
We are. He wanted the neighbors.
Yes. That was a good time to have a moment to talk to the oldest kid.
Yes.
Who was totally fine, no big deal, but it gave us a minute to have that conversation without being interrupted every half a second.
Right.
But that's how it works around here. You don't get interrupted every minute or every second. It's every half a second.
Yes, it totally is. And
big kid came over with her girlfriend.
Yeah.
And they got the phone fixed and came out to them. I was glad to finally have it. I'd like to talk to my family in person when I'm coming out.
You know.
Trying to get that kid over here sometimes
can be
challenging because, you know, she's got a schedule going on and a busy life. And
yeah, she's a young adult. They like their social time. They like, you know.
They're doing things.
Independence.
They're doing things. Mm-hmm. So that was great. I was really happy that the big kid and then the little kids.
Yay.
And the medium, sort of big, but medium kid.
Yeah.
Son number one.
The physically big kid.
The physically big kid. The kids in the house.
Yes.
We've been preparing to come out to the kids for quite a while.
We have been.
And we did that by, of course, realizing that that was going to be a process, that, you know, part of the process here.
Yes.
And by finding, a bit by accident, but fortunately, some YouTube videos from other guys about coming out to kids.
Yep.
And books.
Books. Backwards Day and My Princess Boy. And there's a couple others with tomboy type characters. And we've pointed out the difference between someone's body gender and their brain gender.
Yes. So we've been working on that for a while. And of course, number two son seems to have recognized that all along the way, even before we started this process.
Yes. He knew that you had a girl body and a boy brain. And that's just because he's my mom.
Yes. So we did a lot of preparing, getting ready for that, and trying to be aware of their ages, how this would be best explained, keeping it simple. And you started, well, I started with, "Hey, babe, before we go in there, let's talk for a second so I can remember what I'm saying."
Yes, because we needed to talk about what we were going to say.
Yes, and we had had this conversation, you and I, a whole bunch of times about what we were going to say. But right before we went in, I just kind of wanted to touch base with you on how brief we were going to be.
And I think we had decided that we were going to just be as basic with the facts as we needed to be and then answer the questions if they had any.
Right.
So while we were talking about what we were going to say, we decided that I would lead off by pulling from that foundation that we've been building and say, you know, we've talked about the difference between the brain and the body and how someone can have a girl brain and a girl body like number three, or a boy brain and a boy body like number two. And number two pipes right up with, "And how you could have a girl body and a boy brain like my mama." And I said, "Yeah, and that's the cool part."
Right. So then I did explain to them that that was true. And I don't know, what did I say? You were listening to words. I remember what happened.
You said, "Well, I decided that having a girl body wasn't working for my boy brain anymore. And so I went to the doctor a few months ago, and he's helping me fix my body to match my brain."
and they were...
They were happy, and then they asked for dessert.
Yes.
Because we had the family meeting between dinner and
they dessert. Clarified, because you had clarified to them, now George will be your stepfather.
Yes, for number 1 and 3, George won't be your stepmom, he'll be your stepdad. And hey, number 2, if George is a dad, is that a she or a he? And number 3, of course, steps all over him and says, she's a he! I wasn't talking to you. So
she does like to answer questions. She's going to be Hermione.
She's going to be Hermione. She's totally Hermione. Oh my gosh. Then, you know, come back to number 2 again. Okay, really number 2 this time, and give a dirty look to number 3. Is that going to make it a him or a her? And I'm eyeing number 3 all the time, making sure, you know, giving her the mom eye.
Don't you answer.
give 2 the time to think, and he says, it's a him. Dad's a him.
Yes. So that was it.
Yeah. Is this right here, is this his shoe or her shoe? Because I wanted to get the last form of pronoun in.
Mm-hmm.
And they answer together on that part, yeah.
His shoe. So number 1?
Number 1 is 13. He just sort of sat there and took it all in, like, oh, what are my parents doing now? All right.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is. He's like, required to be miserable at his age.
Mm-hmm.
The other 2 kids were just bouncing around in the overstuffed chair and doing acrobatics and saying, okay.
Trying not to bump each other.
Yes.
So you'll be my real dad?
Yes, I'll be your real dad. Okay. That's great.
Can I have ice cream now?
Yes.
I think number 2 gave you a hug and number 3 went to the table.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Yeah, which so I kind of had a feeling it would be.
Well, I did, but we had so many other things going on with the doctor issues that we were falling behind on our calendar.
Right.
And getting the kids informed so that they have time to process it.
Yeah, because we don't want them going back to school and having to process, you know, if something pops into their head, we don't want them explaining it to a classmate or a teacher. That could be a negative experience for them.
It could. And I have, you know, I'm not kidding myself. Of course, they're going to be processing it for a while. Our little princess is quite thorough in explaining to her brothers. That's because...
She's your dad now.
Yes. And just looks at him kind of like, get with the program, dude. They explain this to us.
It was funny because he's just going to be, I think number 2 is just going to be a little slow on the uptake anyway.
Well, until he sees some more physical changes.
He's going to respond to those.
He will. He totally will.
Because he's totally subconscious on that binary thing.
He is. He's a binary child. And so when I get upper surgery and have a little more facial hair than the type I have now, which has a complete necessity to be shaved in order to be presentable.
You got the teen stash going.
I do have a little tiny soul patch that likes to not be shaved. It doesn't like to respond to the razor.
You poor thing.
So that's great.
So after the kids were on board, then you had to get ready to come out at work, which you were going to be taking medical leave for your top surgery anyway, and you figured that would be the best time to do it.
I was taking leave. I didn't take medical leave because I didn't want them in charge of my medical needs.
Okay.
And the ability to be gone from work. I took vacation.
That seems like a reasonable choice.
Then I had more control.
But then you were no longer on medical or vacation. You were on administrative leave for a while.
Yeah, because they mucked the whole thing up. And that was an interesting process. And I have to say how well it went with everyone at work was certainly a highlight. And how totally government-like they mucked it all up was totally, it was expected.
Yeah.
They did it like perfectly how you expect them to. Remember the union lawyer saying to me, you gave them a book to read and they didn't read it.
I do remember your union lawyer saying that.
Some time ago, I came out to my boss, and the general plan was that I would probably write an email, have it reviewed, and then the email would be sent.
Yes.
And it would be saying, hi, I'm Mr. George now. So, you know, everybody could get in the groove and change their pronouns and all that good stuff. You know, in the meantime, I was trying to schedule with surgery consults and all this, and I had the one, the surgery date was like sooner than we could have imagined. And it seemed like good timing because, you know, we were all done waiting. Let's just say it that way. We're done waiting.
Yeah. You know, if they give you a date for a couple weeks out, you take it.
Yeah. You just say, yeah, that sounds good. So then it's time to say, hey, what do you want me to do about the email? okay, write the email. And I write the email and I give it to my boss and the person in charge. She reviews it and she says it's a good email. And HR says, why do you have to do that? And we're like, well, we can explain that to you.
Why do we have to do that? I think we went over that a couple of weeks ago.
It's we just did. So I'm just catching this up.
Yes.
Okay, so now we're at the point of why do we have to do that? And then the message I got, it's okay, HR says they don't understand why we have to do that, but it's up to the director himself. So we're going to go back to the director and let him decide. And then I hear nothing and I hear nothing. And I've got like 3 days working that week before I leave for surgery. And I send a little email reminder saying, hey, Yoo-hoo, what do you want to do now?
I'm going away and I'd like this to be solved when I come back. How can I help you solve it?
Yes. And all we got back was, got it. And my boss said,
got what?
We've got nothing. Apparently she has something, which is our email, and that's all. That's all she's copying to. So nothing. So I have surgery, and then I talk to my boss, who's going to be taking some time off, you know, planned time off. And she says, you go ahead and send me an email, and I will forward it to them and say, hey, what's going on? And the hey, what's going on was this odd response of, well, HR is deciding what to do because they haven't dealt with this before.
Well, not in 15 years, but...
Everything's new now.
Right.
There's new laws and new stuff. So that was the message we got. And I said to my boss, I thought that our director, the ball was in his court and he was supposed to decide. That's the message we got. And now HR is involved again? So nothing. Eventually, I'm thinking, wonder if I should talk to the union and ask them what the parameters of this are. And what I should do here.
Like, right.
What? Give me a clue, give me some support, something. And then my coworker comes to visit, and this is the poor coworker who's the only one who knows everything and, you know, has to deal with the rest of this bullshit with us. And
your poor work wife.
Yeah. She says, maybe you should call the union and talk to them because, you know, there's attorneys there and they probably would know what's going on. And I said, yeah, you know, we were thinking that. I think I'll do that. So I do. And that's where we're at now. So
you called the union.
I sent them an email and I said, hey, I've got a situation going on that I'm trying to work out with HR. I've been told I'm working it out with HR.
Yes.
And it doesn't seem to be getting resolved and I'm not sure what to do, but I'd like some assistance figuring out what to do or some support. And I get an email back from the attorney who's the support person answering my question and said, absolutely, call me or email me. So I send her a response email.
You forwarded her all of the prior emails, haven't
you? I did. There was just three of them. I said, okay, I'm going to send you, this is what's going on. I'm trying to come out transgender and get this all worked out there. And here's the emails that we had. My understanding was this was our plan, but I'm not getting an answer. They want this plan. They don't want this plan. They have another plan. They have no plan. They don't know what to do. Nothing. Getting nothing back. And I need to know because my leave time's up and I'm supposed to go back Monday. So she says, okay. And she calls me and clarifies a few things, such as, what has your experience been so far? What's your experience with your direct supervisor? What's your experience with any coworkers who know? Basically checking that everything has been good so far. Everything's working well. Yes, it's gone well. We seem to be stuck here. And she says, okay, I'm going to dig it out. I'm going to call HR. I'm going to call your director type person and anybody else. And I'm going to find out what's going on and what do we need to do?
Okay.
And I said, perfect. This is great. It's what I want. Thanks. So I don't hear anything all the next day. And then I'm like, okay. Then she calls back. What they say is that the reason they told you no is because they would like you to do this in small groups. They would not like to send out a big email. And I said, if they had told me no, I would have been saying, hey, they told me no, and I don't like that answer. But what I did is I said to you, I'm not getting any answers. And she said, absolutely.
Can we pause for a second to just admire the absurdity of the small group idea?
Yes, we can.
Because we can. You meet with the small group and then you've got 5 or 6 people who are he-ing you and the whole rest of the building is still she-ing you. And then you meet with another small group and there's a few more and then everybody's confused.
I'm really interested. Are they providing tea and crumpets? You know, what do they have a script for me like my wife does?
Yes. I mean,
what do they want me to say to them? What do they want those people to do then? If they don't even know what to do with a really clear email, then do they really know what I should tell the small group of people? And is it limited to 5? I mean, what are the perimeters here? What do you want?
Right.
So, yeah, it's absurd. And I told the attorney union helper person that. And, you know, she's an attorney, so she doesn't say anything. She just listens and says, okay, well, we can meet with them if you like. And I say, well, I have no idea we can certainly do it their way. It'll totally backfire. But they need to tell me what it is we're doing. And she said, they do need to tell you that. And I'm going to call HR and tell them they need to tell you that. So she calls HR and HR says, what are you talking about? We already told the director type person, falls in his court. We don't think you need to do it, but he can do it if he wants to and he should take care of it.
And this is the big director that's over the assistant director you've been dealing with.
Yes.
Okay.
Then she talks to him or somebody who was talking to him, and he said he never got the other emails. So I don't know how they decided that they told me no if he didn't even get all the emails.
Sounds like whoever is saying they is using the royal we.
Yeah, exactly. So I say this to my union person. She says, well, the director now wants to review this himself when he gets back. And so what they're going to do in the meantime is give you admin leave, which basically means it's on their dime because they should have handled this already. Which is actually what she said in the very first phone call. The union person said, read your email, it's really good, and they should have done this already.
Yeah.
Because they could have done it while you're gone, and the problem would be solved, and it's not. I said, no, it's a bigger problem. We all know this only has to be as big of a problem as they make it, and I wanted to forget how big of a problem they could probably make it. I really did. I really did. Well, anyhow, the attorney has her pronouns in order.
Yay.
Thank you. And she says, I told them, look, this guy is trying to talk to you and work this out so he can go back to his job, and you're not communicating with him. Why? And I'm thinking, this is good.
Asshats.
This is good. Because the person who had the loop got all the strings tangled up and didn't have anybody untangle them. She just put it in the drawer and closed it.
Which is what she seems to be trying to do with your closet door.
Yeah, that's how I feel. And what happens is I'll get a call, like one of these, you know, half dozen calls, and I'll get really mad. I'm just mad as hell. And then I think, okay, I already know that they're like this a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not unexpected, but that doesn't mean it's acceptable. Lying's not okay. Not taking care of something you should be taking care of is not okay. And, you know, add your own, because there's plenty.
The entire situation and the way in which it has been handled is completely unprofessional and unacceptable.
Right. And it can totally be remedied.
Yeah.
And I was thinking earlier today of sending them an email, and I told my bosses this morning, kind of like babying them along of, okay, you guys, let me use my professional voice here and skills and try to get everybody calm down.
Yeah.
And remind them that this doesn't have to be a big deal. And I was thinking about doing that. And I was like, you know, the hell with that. I'm going to go do something for myself today that is not related to some bullshit nonsense. And I'm just going to drive my butt to the serene place that I like to sit with.
Yeah.
The sounds of nature and my dog.
Yes.
So I did.
Yay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I sat there and we hung out and it was good. And then I came home. And now I'm talking to the microphone.
So what is the plan now going forward? Because it's changed so many times.
Yes, the current final plan is that Tuesday they are going to meet with me. The union person will call me before then and let me know when. Because they didn't give her time, because the director would also like other people to be there. I'm not expecting that they will really get everybody to the same place on Tuesday or not yet until they tell me that they're doing that, because now they need more players.
Lovely.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing, I think I forgot this part. I had told the union person at the beginning, I said, you know, I gave my boss a book and she's offered them this book more than once and they've declined. And all the attorney said was, you gave them a book and they didn't take it. And I'm like, nope, they didn't. She still has it if they want it.
Yes.
They have time. So, yeah.
Because yeah.
We had found the book, which is kind of old school, but it's perfectly workable information.
Yeah.
Transsexuals in the Workplace. You can find it online cheap.
Transsexuals in the Workplace is not actually a book that exists. That's a title that I made up in my head out of two other books that we had looked at. So.
Well, I kept it. So there.
Yeah.
It's a blue book with white writing.
It is.
I'm a picture person. That's a topic, though.
Yep.
And my boss is a book person who can look at the information, and that's the way she likes to digest things. That's why I got the book. Now, they didn't have to read the book. They could have just asked her.
Right.
They asked me and her in the meeting.
Of course.
The director type person said, so, according to your research, this is the best way to do this. And I said, absolutely.
Of course.
This is the best way I know. The state has done this. We can do it, too.
The state has done that.
They have. They have. Yeah, but we're not taking any pages out of their book, apparently.
Well, apparently not.
We might not. We're just not taking any pages or books.
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
Like, you gave them this old school.
But it was relevant material.
Good stuff. You
it
know?
Was, here's how we do this. And it was to back up what I was telling them we should do. And they still did. They did the other things, which we talked about quite a bit.
So we finally got some resolution on that thing at work.
They decided, let's have a meeting now, this afternoon. How about 4 o'clock?
And what time did they call you to ask you that?
Like 1 o'clock or something.
Lovely.
And it was just me and the union person and the top director guy and HR.
Okay.
So, yes, we had a meeting.
And they...
They said they didn't know what to do with this situation and asked me to explain why I wanted to send the email. Why did I want to use this particular venue?
And what happened after they asked you to explain?
They listened. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And I talked to my sister about this after. And I told her how different that is. And that it's not a situation. It's definitely a gender thing. It's like my good friend said, you know, welcome to the world of male privilege.
Yep.
It's that. Because everybody just listened. And I talked for a while. And they listened the whole time to the whole thing. And it wasn't that way of... Like I said to my sister, you know, like when there's one guy sitting there, or there's a guy, and the guys are always like looking around, and they're not really listening if you're a woman because they don't figure what you're saying is important anyway. And they have that look on their face. And she said, she knew exactly what I was talking about. There was none of that.
Right.
There was actual listening.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very different. And we got to discuss their concerns about the drama that can go on. And I said, I am very aware of the drama that goes on. In our business, in yes. our building.
Yes.
I assure you. And I talked to them about having been out. You and I had gone out to see a friend that was in town that used to work with me and works out of town now, moved out of town, works out of town and came back to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were a bunch of people from my office that showed up there.
Hi.
Hi.
I have no chest. Nice to see you.
Yeah. And they were very cool because they were very respectful. They weren't going to, you know, ask anything about anything. But the fact of the matter is they knew what was going on, whether it came from someone or from speculation. And had this email been sent out in the first place, we wouldn't have been at this point of everybody speculating.
No.
Where's George? And then my coworker can't say where I am.
No.
Because this problem has not been resolved. So I explained to them that you and I had been out and that people do know what they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And that the email, even though it's very short, tells them, here's what you do. You change your pronouns.
That's it.
Yeah. And we won't trip on it. None of us.
Nope.
Nobody will get freaked out.
Nope.
Either way.
Yep.
So they don't know what to do with it. And they really do need to know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, okay, let's send an email, but let's not send it to the whole address list. Let's send it to the people that you work with all the time that need to know this right now.
Which is only 90% of the entire department building email list.
I knew that, but I said, okay, because if I said, well, that will still be 90%, we would have been stuck there longer hashing it out. And if I said, okay, and then went and took care of it and sent something, we would at least be still moving in the same direction.
Oh, for gender's sake.
And that's what we needed to do. So I did. I came home and I went through the list and I took all the new people off and all, you know, anybody I don't like really directly work with at any point.
Right.
Even if they know me. I mean, I've been there like 10 years. They're going to know me, but
mm-hmm.
whatever.
And you were kind of memorable. I mean, you're the girl George to them.
Yes.
So
I was. So I did the paring down and sent it to him, like he said, and didn't hear anything all day Tuesday, even though we were supposed to be doing this Tuesday. And then when I did hear something, it was still sort of a freak out of, oh my God, that's still like almost everybody. And I'm like thinking to myself, well,
yeah,
duh, that's what I tried to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But since that's really not going to fly, the paring down, the practical paring down.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, no, really, that's still too much. And you're going to try to figure out what to do with it. What I'm going to do, and I seriously didn't think this was going to happen this way, but I thought it's one of those things you're doing while you're waiting for an answer. And you're thinking this shouldn't be the answer, but I'll just do it while I'm waiting.
You offer other options.
And I pared it down. really a lot farther and thought, who do I not work with like every single day? Who can I take off of here that might be on my Facebook? Or
people who should already know.
Who can I, you know, I would want everybody, including those people, to have it because I'd want them to know that it just got sent.
Yes.
Who can I take off of here that can just get it sent to them later? And how can I word that? So then I changed the wording so that I could say they could forward it, but frame that appropriately so that the kind of forwarding would be within that framework. And that was half from what I had. I just started chucking names out of there. I thought, well, we'll tell this one later.
Yep.
And, you know, let me just try to get this done.
Yep.
And he said, okay. But I had asked two questions then. I had asked also, okay, if you don't want to send it to everybody, do you want to talk to your supervisors first? Well, that created a delay because then he wasn't sure about that. And he had to check with a bunch of people in order to try to decide. And then they did decide to send it to a higher group of supervisors in their meeting first the next day. And then I would release the email. So, you know, it's just like that.
Yeah.
That's how it is. So I sat here the next day and waited until it was time. And then when it was time, I wanted to hurry up and send the damn thing before something else kept it from happening. I went to send it and the links wouldn't.
Oh.
They wouldn't be links.
Oh.
And I'm not you, so I fought with it a little harder than you probably would have.
Oh, well, and you've got a lot of colleagues there who are probably not going to follow the URLs if they have to copy paste them into a browser.
I wanted them to be links for sure. So I got that cutting and pasting. I'm trying to, it just won't effing go as a link. And then I finally get it as a link, and then the addresses won't cut and paste as addresses. And I'm like, really? So then I just kept messing around with that. And I thought, okay, just keep your cool, man, because I'm going to sit here until this is done. So this shit is going to cut and paste and mail, and that's final. And it's going to do it the way I need it to do it, not the way it feels like doing it or whatever's going on here. Some kind of, haha, try this. You thought you were ready. No, you are not. And I got it all to go. And then I thought, now I have to review it again and make sure I didn't mess anything up while I was fixing all this stuff.
Of course.
And I still had some regrets or thoughts about who wasn't getting this right this minute. And a couple of the names I took out, I could put in the CC part because they were like my boss and my coworker and my boss's boss and
right.
That kind of stuff.
And so technically you made the list shorter.
Technically.
To make your super, your director happy.
Those people needed to know it was being sent out right now.
Yeah.
It's in everybody's mailboxes. Hello, just so you know.
Uh-huh.
That was fair enough. They didn't need to be notified what was going on. They needed to be notified that it had gone on.
Yes.
Finally.
Good job.
And I sent it and I thought, great. And I was trying to shut everything off and quick, I got like three emails back that were like, congrats and that's great and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, but I'm going to shut this off and I'm going to walk away from this computer for at least 24 to 48 hours. I don't even want to know email exists in the world. I'm going to go away. And I did. I just went away from the computer. And my boss was texting something, and I let her know, I'm just not even going near that computer. I'll let you know when I'm going back. And she totally got that.
Yay.
Because, you know, she had just had her holidays and had her break from technology and knew exactly where I was going with that. Eventually, I did check the email and had about 35 emails back from folks at work in response that were all very positive, very nice emails. And I forwarded a few of those to my soup so she could see.
Yay.
It's all good.
Everybody's happy for you.
Everybody's happy for me.
Except the people who got left out.
Yes. Yes. And then that's true. And then I got an email from a person who is a good person to do this kind of thing of, hey, George, some people are just wondering why they didn't get the email and they have no problem with you or what you're doing. They just have a problem with they didn't get the email. And she said, that's us. You know it. And I said, absolutely. I understand that. So I sent her an email and I said,
blame the director.
I did. Well, he had already gone to back to the people he started with and said, hey, my bad. It didn't go to everybody, but not everybody knew that yet.
Right.
And I don't know if she had gotten that message yet or not, but just to clarify it, I did send an email back and I said, yes, this is true. And that's because my first choice of sending it to everybody in the whole address book was denied. It was not recommended, and neither was my next pair down. So I took the one I could get so that it could get done before my boss and my coworker
strung you up by your toenails?
That's not what I said, but they might have been considering it at that point. They wanted me to come back to work and do my job, so they didn't have to.
Yes.
I sent a little URL of the Sirius Black poster wanted.
Yes.
And I said before they had to put those up all over the building. Looking for me. And so they liked that, and I sent it to my boss, and they got it, that the word was getting around. So that seems good. I think a couple of people still were kind of bent by that. And all things considered, that's not bad at all.
No, it's not.
So, phew. I was really glad to send that email, and the stress was kind of building a little more than I realized, because it's like, really? We're still not there? And that was, part of the meeting was, let's send the email. This is Monday. We're having a meeting. Let's send the email Tuesday, tomorrow. And then, when do you think we should have you come back? You know, I'd like you to not come back right away, and let's finish letting this settle.
Isn't that why you had wanted to originally send it, like, the day you left?
Yes. And they realized that was their bad, and so they said, okay. And I said, Monday should work, and they said, okay. And I thought, well, if we don't get this thing out, and it's Wednesday now, tick, 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 and Monday is coming.
Yes.
And then what are you going to do? Put me on leave again? And then my supervisor and coworker would be stringing them up by their toenails, as you like to say.
Yes.
Because it wasn't going to be me. I'd be in hiding.
Just feed all your customers to the bears and everyone will be good.
The bears are full from eating our children.
Oh, darn it.
Yeah.
That's our normal threat. What am I going to do with these kids? Oh, we'll just feed them to the bears.
We don't tell them that too often, but we say it to each other.
Yes.
Somehow it's satisfying.
It's a lot of things that we say to each other that we don't tell the kids.
Yeah, that's good.
I find it amusing that the only people who got upset about that letter that you sent were the people who were upset because it hadn't been sent to them.
That was funny. And then I did let them know, and they were like, oh, okay. Yeah, only people who got mad were the ones who didn't get it, which was the whole problem with the whole government approach to things. So I would think the next thing I can come up with is standing to pee, STPs, because men's rooms have lots of urinals, not a lot of stalls, and being able to stand to pee is very helpful.
Yes.
But it's all very interesting to me because it's like a new
experience.
It is. That's the word I'm looking for. Experience. It's a whole new experience, and it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what'll happen.
Right.
It's going to be something.
And what else have you noticed about men's spaces? Like, you mentioned that mirrors and stuff like
that.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because you use a lot of men's rooms in, over the course of a day. Like, at work, you travel a lot.
I do. And I try to pick men's rooms that are going to be easy to get to. And just like when I was looking for a restroom in general, would be the cleaner facilities around town. Typically, what I found, and this part won't be a shock to anybody, is where I would find a clean women's room in the past, that there is not necessarily a clean men's room.
No.
No. Whoever's cleaning the women's room is cleaning it. Whoever's cleaning the men's room hasn't been there in a few weeks. So, but the other thing that I mentioned to you that was interesting is, which men's rooms don't have mirrors? Lots of them.
Women's rooms always have mirrors unless you're in, like, the uber ghetto.
And then they have a metal mirror.
Right. Or there's usually a sign saying out of order, repairs, or something like that. That used to happen a lot in the neighborhoods where I grew up.
So where you would typically find the place for the mirror, in another restroom.
Right.
A lot of men's rooms, it's just a wall.
It's just the wall.
There's no mirror.
Mm-mm.
Because you guys don't care what you look like, and you're probably just going to break it anyway. So,
right.
I mean, women, I think, even in some of the, like you said, more ghetto places, they're not going to break the mirror. They still want to see what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no mirror in a lot of these places. So now I'm very curious when I go somewhere and I say, oh, there's no mirror, or there's a mirror. Sometimes I still want to give that report to somebody. Like if I go in a men's room at a fast food restaurant or a store and there's no mirror in there, and I want to come out and say, there's no mirror in there, to somebody. Because it's weird to me, you know? I spent many, many years going into the other restroom, which always has a mirror.
Even if it's just a piece of polished metal because you're in the wrong neighborhood, there's still something that the women can look at themselves and fix themselves up in.
Yeah, not so for a lot of men's rooms.
That's kind of nuts to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of crazy, but I don't know. I never would have thought.
And so you experimented with a number of different devices and found one or two that work for you.
I did, and it's great. It's really great to just walk in and pee and leave because it makes life easier.
It does.
There's lots of reasons to stand to pee.
They're, you know, they fit all fit very differently, so I tend to fit them around my schedule.
Yes.
So, for instance, a shorter day, I will wear an STP, like the peacock,
mm-hmm.
because it's a perfectly comfortable STP. And if you mm-hmm. weren't going to use it as a STP, but just as a packer, it's really comfortable. But to wear it all day as an STP, for me, on one of my longer days, which could be, you know, 11 or 12 hour work day,
right.
not including travel and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little too uncomfortable.
The peacock, the material against your skin yeah. for that long.
Yeah, it's just a little bit too, a little too moist and
yeah, too there's much no room to breathe.
Yeah,
no
breathing. Yeah, let's just put it that way. And so on another day, I might wear some other packing type thing, like even if it's just material like sock or you know, that type of soft thing,
mm-hmm.
and bring with the homemade STP, which I found more and more is a viable option,
mm-hmm.
even fairly stealthily done.
Yes.
So that might be on a longer day because mm-hmm. that's more comfortable. And then, so on another day, I might, like if I have Tai Chi, I might wear the sailor.
Yeah, sailor.
That one that I bought for swimming
mm-hmm.
can actually be more comfortable with the swimming jock strap than it can with the harness thing that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
The harness thing that comes with it is kind of convenient because if you do need to go sit down, which, you know, if you have to go and it's not STP, which it's not,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not in the way.
Yeah.
However, it kind of sticks out like you've got three tennis balls in the front of your pants or something.
Yeah, the sailor, it works best if you pack it up. If you can, and you're not a packing up kind of guy usually,
well,
so it's...
it doesn't, yeah, it's not going to
It's
stay.
Really big. Other guys were talking about different types of STPs online and you were
yes.
having some reactions to what they were saying.
Yeah, this one guy I know, he posted a question about, you know, this is my trouble with STPs and I have a peacock or something like that. And one of the guys, for a more practical approach, said, you know, you really have to hold it back
mm-hmm.
far enough.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's one of the things. And he had made a YouTube video on
mm-hmm.
it. So there's always the issue, too, of men's room problems in general. The gross men's room issue. Which
you don't always want to go in and sit down?
No, you don't.
No.
You know, especially not like at a park one or something.
Ugh.
I really usually... not cleaned often enough,
mm-hmm.
if they could be, I don't know.
Yeah.
And in that case, even if you could have a STP that you could use comfortably in the stall, that can be an advantage.
Well, that's good. And like that, I think the homemade one is good if you're just trying to avoid the germs.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if you can't, you know, maneuver it stealthily and you know that other people would be able to see you playing with a piece of a milk jug... then, you know, in the stall, it still saves you from having to touch anything.
Pretty much.
Ugh.
Another highlight, which I know I had watched in YouTube videos guys talking about and thought that's cool, but didn't realize how cool it would be, was my clothes fitting better.
You more often than not shopped in the men's section of department stores. And at some department stores, they have what's called a young men's section, which is... men's sizes, but in teen body cuts, not quite as much expectation of being filled out by an adult musculature.
Right.
And you'd still shop in those sections some, but at the time, you were having me fold up the cuffs of all your short sleeve shirts because they didn't look right around your scrawny estrogen arms.
No, they didn't.
Related to your testosterone and being just over 2 years on testosterone now.
Things change anyway.
Yes.
Things
like
that you don't think are changing, change.
We had to go and buy you new button shirts.
Yes, because my neck doesn't fit in the other shirts.
You cannot button the top button. You could wear a tie, but it would look funny.
I couldn't button that button at all. The shirts started to look a little funny, even though I didn't need to button them. Because there wasn't enough space there, like the way the collar laid, I was looking funny. So we had to go buy a couple shirts that in case I do have to wear a tie.
Yes.
I have a shirt that I can button a collar around
yes.
my neck.
Yes, and it happens a few times a year that you have to wear a tie.
Right.
Thankfully, not all the time.
No, but I wouldn't want to run out at the last minute and try to find one because I still have short arms.
You do still have short arms.
I have like the medium large size neck and the smallest arms that they make.
Yes.
On that size shirt.
Yes, you do.
Fortunately, it fit fine.
Well, it fit fine when you get the slim fit shirt.
I have to have a slim fit shirt. Yes, this is true. Because that is a couple inches smaller around.
Otherwise, around the rib cage and the midsection.
Otherwise, you could fit another quarter of me inside of the shirt.
That's not attractive. Or the rest
of my neck would fit there. You know. No,
yes.
Would be wrong.
Yeah. You went and you tried on all these shirts and... We did try on some of the regular cut shirts for not the slim fit.
I have before. I didn't this time.
You didn't this time?
This time I looked up which brands at that store near our house had slim fit, and I went to those sections and found the slim fit and tried them on.
Uh-huh.
I wanted a less expensive shirt than the other ones I had bought, because the other ones I had bought on clearance, so they were way cheaper than they usually are, like, I want to say like a $60 shirt, and I'm not paying for that ever.
Right.
So usually when they go on sale, they're half that, and then when they go on clearance, they're half that. I was glad to find shirts that fit.
Yes.
I put it on. Because my shoulders have gotten bigger, even though I'm still this really small person.
Yes.
My shoulders fit in the shirt, and the arm was the right length.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of the arm length on the men's shirt is that side of the shoulder from the neck. And anyhow.
Generally, you buy a button shirt, an Oxford cut shirt, with two measurements. One is the neck, and one is the arm span measured from the spine.
Yes.
And previously, half of your shirts had been a narrower neck in a men's slim cut size, and you still had a couple shirts, I think, that were a bigger boy's size that we had bought you during the wedding, maybe?
Yes, because my wedding shirt was a boy's size, but that shirt hasn't fit in a while.
No.
I don't even know if I can get my arms in there, let alone my shoulders and my neck.
That's great.
Yeah, it would be kind of funny.
It would be.
So it's funny to me in a good way. Because lots of things are funny in not good ways. So.
Oh, gosh.
My neck getting bigger is funny in a good way.
It is. I'm glad.
I did end up getting bigger shirts because my shoulders got bigger and so forth. So the way my clothes fit, I like the way that looks, you know?
Yeah.
It feels right.
That's good.
So I enjoy that. I've got to get dressed for court, which is fine. I have a suit for court, and I have ties, and I bought some new shirts, and I put them on, and they don't fit my neck again.
And you bought these shirts not too long ago, specifically because they did not fit your neck, like not even, what, 6, 7, 8 months ago, less than a year ago.
6 months or less ago, I bought a couple of inexpensive shirts. I can wear them to work anyway, but with a tie, there was one shirt in my whole closet I could wear with a tie, and it didn't go with my suit.
Ugh.
I can wear a shirt and tie to court, that's okay. But because I had to buy the shirts with the bigger neck, they're a little bit bigger around me. And for some reason, I was just feeling a lot of anxiety about who I am as a trans person being put on the spot by a bunch of crazy people, including the guy sitting behind the bench. The anxiety was up. And I thought, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do? Nobody knows. I'm just some guy.
And see, at that point, I would feel like some kid dressing up in their dad's clothes.
Yes.
Like, oh, this is too big for me, and I'm just walking around pretending to be...
And it's not too big for me, but in my mind or in the feeling of my body...
You feel that it's a little loose here and a little loose there, and you think, ah...
I feel a little bit wrong, and I feel anxiety about other situations, and this just comes to the front every once in a while, being a trans person and dealing with yourself. And so, in trying to deal with this, I know... Okay, just think to yourself, what's going on here for yourself, and try to figure out how to best cope with it. Okay, what's going on for myself is, I know that I feel like I don't fit right now. Okay, why don't I fit? Well, my clothes are a little wrong. I don't have what I expect I needed to step into this situation. I don't feel prepared for the situation anyway. I don't want to be there in at least 3 different ways, exponentially. And so, what is it about that? Like, what do I know about myself that I can help to cope with this? And this is where it started to get helpful.
And this is where you started being your own therapist.
Well, you have to know how to do that.
And yeah.
If you've gone to your own therapy, you learn some coping mechanisms.
Yes.
And there's other
things that were making life stressful at that moment.
Right.
But I can feel this in my body, this anxiety. So I think, okay, I am this person who is a trans person, and I'm okay with that. And if everybody else isn't, too effing bad. What can I do to make myself own that? Because that's the thing about being a whoever you are. And for me, I'm a queer. And I'm a queer because I've been a queer for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a lesbian who was a guy who had to be a lesbian. And now I'm this guy who was a lesbian, but I wasn't. And how I feel as that trans person, and by owning that queerness and welcoming it, because I do really like my queerness. It's helped me grow as a person in so many. I would be the biggest asshole as just some cis straight guy. I would, because of the situation I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be maybe even alive.
Right.
Like my dad wasn't at this time in his life.
Right.
You know, so I know these things. And plus I embrace that queerness of myself. So one of the things that used to help me as a lesbian guy was to find a way to embrace that fagginess or whatever was going on for me of, haha, I'm this person and you don't know it.
Yeah.
So here's what I did. I'll play this for you because you can cut it out and you can paste it in. But I thought, you know, there's something that makes me very happy when I see it. And it's totally about what's going on for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
That is this song that has the video. And I stood outside the courthouse and played this song for myself. And I was as happy as could be about it. I was very happy. And it made me feel better because I could watch this video. So I'm outside playing this video and I'm just as happy as can be because I'm like, this is me. There's this queer person and this is like a queer video because there's these guys and they have their lipstick and they're very masculine, but they're kind of not. And that's how I feel. I feel like this guy who wasn't allowed to be a guy. So I have this other part of me and sometimes that makes me feel anxious, but I love it at the same time. And being tired of being anxious about this one shirt phenomenon, I went to the men's warehouse.
Yes.
Where men buy things.
From a warehouse.
Yes. Can't be a shirt place. It has to be a warehouse.
Can't be, you know, the suit store.
No.
No, it's the warehouse.
We're in America. We better have a warehouse. So I thought, well, I'm a short guy. I've already gone to the department store. Finding a shirt for my fat neck and my shortness.
Yes.
I went there and they fitted me for a shirt. So that was a bizarre thing because I'm, you know.
Did they have you strip completely or did they leave you in a t-shirt or what?
They basically let you call the shots. So I'm trying to figure out when I get there, like, how does this work? This is the trans thing. I'm in the man's place. How does this work? I'm just going to watch what they do. So I go in. They say, yes, sir. How can we help you, sir? There's always a lot of sirs. Ladies don't get that. And when they do, it's not like...
It's ma'am, and that's a very different
It's not
thing.
Authoritative.
No.
It's not, you're in charge of us. We shall do what you say, master, you know?
Yes, and in the South, I have family in Texas and in the panhandle of Florida. And across those areas, ma'am is a much more deferential term.
Yes.
But out here in the West, ma'am is condescending.
Well...
But you got sir.
I'm sir.
Yes.
How can we help you, sir? I need a shirt. Let me get someone to help you with that, sir. And the lady comes over. See? She's a lady.
Yeah.
The woman comes over. And she's going to help me. And I say, I need a shirt. I'd like it to be white. I just need a shirt for court. Because they ask you, what's the occasion? Because, again, being even though I'm a man in the man's place, it's just like being when I'm at the flower stand and they are certain that you do not know what you're doing and they need to know the occasion to make sure you are getting the correct flowers or shirt or whatever it is you're getting. Because you could be getting the shirt and getting the wrong occasion. Shirt, flowers, socks, shoelaces. You're a man. They better help you. So I say, I need a shirt for court because I need to wear a tie and my other shirts are too small right now. Okay, she measures me. I think, good. She measures me. She goes, gets a shirt. She's telling me about shirts, and she hands me one to hold while she looks for the other shirt because it's 2-for-1. I'm like, great, because these are expensive. And I could ask for a cheaper shirt, but then they can't alter it because cheaper material is harder to work with.
Okay.
It won't alter the same way. So anyhow, the point is they're 2-for-1. And under my suit, it won't matter. But if I want to wear one without a suit jacket and not sweat like a pig, which I do anyway, at some point, I'm going to want an altered shirt. She measures my neck. She hands me the shirt. It says 15 in the collar. I say to her, hey, my shirts at home say 16, and I cannot get them to button around my neck. And she looks at me and she says, well, that's odd because I measured you. So how about you just try it on? Because I'm a man. I need help, obviously. And let me see. I try it on, I show her it won't button. She says, wow, that's weird because is it your shoulders? And she's looking at my shoulders like,
point out that you have a neck injury.
No. No, it's not that.
Oh.
I'm not sure what it was. Maybe she measured too high and my neck is thick where it needs to button. In any case, I showed her. She said, oh, like, okay, we can believe the man now. And she gets me a 16 and I'm thinking it might fit because the other one almost closed. And I'll try it on because although I am a man and I am sir and I am in charge of everybody, I'm not really in charge of what's happening because I'm a man and I need help. So
that's kind of how it works.
Yes. So she gives me the 16s. I say, okay. I try it on and I can get the 16 to button. And I say, okay, well, could be the department store shirts are different. Could be they've been washed and dried. I'm going to go home and measure those suckers because I want to know what's going on. So she says, okay, well, and we can alter these if you want and make it so the arms are not so big around and you're not fluffy, which is what I was having an issue with the other shirt. I was fluffy.
Right.
I don't want to be billowing. This is not the Renaissance.
You don't need a puffy shirt.
No.
Okay.
There's no frills, and I don't want that either. So I get my shirt. I decide I'm wearing my TARDIS tie because I can wear my suit. And if I button the suit jacket, nobody can see the TARDIS tie unless I unbutton it.
The TARDIS is at the bottom of the tie.
Yes. I'm all happy. The TARDIS tie ties very easily for me as a short guy. Sometimes I have to do a double knot because I need the tie to come out shorter.
Yes,
and,
it is not uncommon for you to need to make a full Windsor knot in your tie to make sure that you have the right length of material.
And it's not going down past my crotch or something.
Right. Yeah.
So there you go. So it does still surprise me to be just some guy. I often think about how easy that is for me and a lot of times for other female-to-male persons transitioning because I know that it's not that way from the other side. For the women, it's not easy because they're getting I would say double whammy, but there's more parts to it than that. They are losing privilege of safety, respect, lots of things, and that whole judgment of how women look comes down on them, and they've suffered the consequences of whatever testosterone has already done to them. Many say testosterone poisoning from that side.
Mm-hmm.
And that can make it very hard for them to be just some gal.
Yeah.
So I think about that.
Even when they are, like the discussions we've had recently about feminism and male privilege, I've been doing a lot of reading pursuant to those and also just as an educator looking at the ways that men and women and young people are treated differently in the educational system based on gender. And there's this understanding that male is neutral. The understanding of mankind being everybody, but womankind being 51% of everybody.
Yeah.
And so when someone is moving away from what is considered to be the neutral or the default, that it's natural for people to take a second look no matter what. And that second look is where a lot of the risk happens.
It's messed up. But
yeah.
I didn't even need to say it, but it's true.
Probably 90% of the people there would have read you as a man who was assigned female, but they're not going to be like Laverne said, that's a man. They're not going to be like, that's a girl.
Yeah.
They're just like, okay, he's cool.
Yeah. He's not a girl.
He is not a girl.
He's one of those other guys.
They knew what to do with the concept of you just being one of those other kind of guys.
Yeah. It was more, I knew that going into this event that it would be more clear to most people that I was a trans guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, in most situations, not the most comfortable place to be.
No, it's but, not. If you
but can... in the queer space, it was fine.
Yes. In most of mainstream culture, if you are read as trans, that's still not something that has quite so absorbed into the cultural mainstream that people can just acknowledge it, assimilate it, and move on with whatever else was the topic at hand or the task at hand. Your transness, they get mentally or emotionally hijacked by it.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen there.
But to people who were not going to that event, like the guy in the parking garage, I was just some guy.
You were just some guy. And what happened with the guy in the parking garage?
Well, it was funny to me. I drove in the parking garage and I thought I saw one of those things where you get a ticket so you could go put it in your window.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't. And so I put the car there and I got out to go look for it and I went by the elevators and I thought it's probably way up on top or some ridiculous thing because they have a segregated parking area or whatever. And I turned around, I saw a maintenance guy driving through, so I just pointed at him and he stopped,
mm-hmm.
rolled down his window to see what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Because when you point at the guy and he stops and you're pointing at him for a reason. He wants to find out what that reason is.
And he stops and he sees what this guy wants.
Because you're just some guy.
This guy being me.
Yes.
And I say, hey, where do you get a ticket for the parking? And he says, on the top floor. And I said, okay. And so it was just this exchange. And this is what most of my week is like mm-hmm. at work to most people I interact with, except the people who knew me before transition.
Mm-hmm.
I am just some guy.
Isn't that awesome?
It is, but it was also really awesome to be myself in the queer space.
Yes.
And be like, yeah, I'm some guy, but I'm a trans guy. Because that is part of my identity.
Yes.
I'm not ever expecting to be stealth. I'm expecting to fly low in some areas out of necessity.
Yes.
However, I enjoyed that I could just be myself and really be who I was, which is some guy who's a trans guy.
Yes. And
it not be a problem. I didn't have to worry. How many people are here? What type are they? Who will this be a problem for? How many is that? What type of problem will it be? Etc.
And how much of my personal effort and energy is going to have to be directed into mitigating the potential problems
of
people not being able to assimilate who I am?
There's a type of safety math that goes on for trans people.
Safety math.
Yes.
Everybody put up your hands. Do the safety math.
It's not that fun.
Damn it.
I know. And unlike a lot of math, it depends on your location.
Yeah.
There's only some math that depends on your location, and it's not directly correlated to this type of math.
You're not talking about the math of like the curvature of the earth that depends on, you know, your location, and it's greater curvature at the equator than it is at the poles.
We're not talking about what longitude and latitude are you at and what direction do you want the compass to provide for you. No.
No, we're talking about what sociocultural gathering and placement have you found yourself in and what is the cultural expectation of your presence there.
Yes.
And in this case, they look at you, they see a short guy with a patchy beard and a tall, broad-shouldered wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they automatically have a certain set of assumptions, but none of them are negative.
Right.
They see you for what you are, and they see us for who we are, and they're just like, okay, I get this person. I connect with a portion of their story that can be read on their presentation, and they don't get hijacked by it.
Nice.
It's so great.
Yeah. But it does still surprise me. I know I'm a guy, right?
And finally, everybody else does too. But after numerous decades of not being seen as such, it's just still kind of nuts.
What was funny is I was having that thing again where women are looking at you and acting different towards you.
Okay.
I notice it. I don't know if I always notice, but when I notice it, I always think, really? And then I scan the surroundings of other things that are happening and other interactions and try to verify that to myself.
Right.
My own reality of what's happening.
Yeah. Like,
is this happening? And how do I know that's happening? Because I've just noticed it.
Yes.
So it was one of those kind of things.
Uh-huh.
And it was like she was getting people stuff and then she was bringing it over to your cycle and just, you know, talking to people and stuff. But she'd bring my towel over to the cycle and hang it up and talk to me.
They're looking right at me and saying, my name is so-and-so, what's your name? And then bringing me something else. And I'd say, thank you. And she'd say, you're welcome. Look right at me. And I'm just like, this is so weird. And then I watched her go to the next person, and she gives the lady a towel, like, and goes to the next one and gives them a towel. You know, like.
Yeah, not initiating conversation, just sort of.
Well, she was talking to them, but she wasn't making any eye contact with them.
Right.
She was talking to, like, one lady across the room while giving another one a towel and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And I just thought, that is so weird.
You're a man.
It was weird because I'm a man.
Yes. Girls are weird about men.
They are.
I don't know why.
And I notice it now that they notice I'm a man. I was a man before, and I noticed them. And it has gotten a little worse. I did notice that last night at the class, too. I was looking around the room after that, and I was thinking, okay. So I was just kind of assessing who else is in this room, and how are they behaving? So, yeah, that was the gym last night.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And guys are funny in the gym. Guys are still very funny in the gym.
How so?
I come back in from the class to get dressed, and there's guys in there, and a guy's leaving, and he's walking past his friend, and she's, hey, Big K, how's it going? He's like, good, T, how's it going with you?
Guys are
funny.
They are.
They are funny. Women are funny. Guys are funny. We are somewhere almost there. I'm closer than you are to one end than the other, but
yes,
it's still very bizarre to me.
Yes.
Yeah, it still can surprise me. My presentation now rings true to me, and it seems to ring true to other people that we know that are close to us.
And it rings true to the old men in the drugstore.
It does. Old guys talk to me now.
This is crazy.
Guys in general talk to me.
Yeah.
Like, you'll just, I'm standing in line waiting to get child number two's prescription, and an old guy walks up to go get in line, and he just talks to me.
Mm-hmm.
The women are not talking to me, which is fine. I'm okay with that, really.
Did they talk to you before?
Sometimes, yeah.
Tried to see you as one of their own, or?
I think so.
Yeah.
That was my impression. And now the guys talk to me because they, I guess, see me as one of their own, and they just talk to me.
Yeah.
There's a guy, and there's all these women standing here, and I'll talk to him.
Yes.
And so they talk to me, which is fine.
Extroverts do that.
I don't know anything about being an extrovert because I'm not one, but I suppose they would. Maybe that's why people are talking. I'm an introvert, and I would talk to somebody, but it would be something very brief, like something about the empty box of insulin pen needles that he was standing there holding.
Right.
You know, but he was actually doing more of the talking. But
and you said this has happened before, like guys just talk to you.
They do. They talk to me. I'm trying to think of more examples, but I'm usually out in a store or someplace in public. Where else would I be? Because it's me and you at the house here. So
there aren't other random strange men in our house to walk up to you and start talking.
No, but I mean like at work or something.
Right.
Guys will just talk to me.
That's kind of great.
It is, because before it was noticeable to me, I think the most noticeable when I started wearing a binder, that it was easier for guys to just talk to me without that distraction of boobs or distracting.
It reminds me of the time that you went out with another mom from number two child's daycare out on their boat. And the women were on one end and the men were on the other, and you didn't want to talk to the women, and the men couldn't quite wrap their heads at first around the fact that you were standing there.
They couldn't deal with me. They kind of almost tried to, but not really. And that wouldn't be the case now. They would talk to me now.
They would.
Yeah.
They would.
Because I know my background, and I like my background as a queer person. And I do think that now I feel more settled in after 4 years, and I'm not going through this amount of changes, that adolescent part of it where you're trying to just deal with yourself, that I'm ready to be more out as a trans guy. And I think that that also is important because of our current climate.
Political climate?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm thinking global warming is not going to be remedied by your level of disclosure. But yes, I understand now.
Well, indirectly, it could be.
Let's go talk to Peterson Toscano.
Right? We should. We should go talk to him.
Someday. We've already got a handful of guest interviews in the planning stages, so we'll get there.
Okay. I hope they pan out.
Me too.
Yeah. I think that is the best way to interact with other people who don't have understandings. Not everybody's going to learn. Some of them are going to be Lord Sutcliffe or whatever his name was.
Oh my gosh.
Perfect example. Yes, our Doctor Who references, but
your story would move anyone with an ounce of compassion. I guess it's not your lucky day.
That's your quote from the...
Well, it's a paraphrase. Anyway.
Paraphrase, yeah, of what tells the doctor. But anyhow...
Yes, a lot of people are not going to hear it, but unless you
put yourself out there, and you, as a class-privileged white guy,
yeah,
have the most likelihood out of anybody of being heard. And like Harvey Milk said, you have to be out if it's at all possible.
So I think I'm in a place where I can use that, I hope, to an advantage for many of us.
Yeah.
As soon as I'm done being so darn sick.
Here's hoping.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to be more on the mend than you were a day or so ago.
You know, food really helps.
Now that you can actually put it into your body because your intestines aren't trying to kill you, yeah.
It makes a difference when you can have the food and use it and you still get to live. Yeah, this is true.
So is that it for now then?
That better be it, because we don't have time for anything else.
We'd love to hear from you, so let us know what you think or what you want to hear about by emailing us at transpantastic@gmail.com or by commenting at our website, transpantastic.net. Don't forget to subscribe in Stitcher, iTunes, or your favorite podcatcher, and leave us reviews and star ratings. Disclaimer time, we are neither your doctor nor your mental health professional. We are here to discuss our own lives, so we take no responsibility for your decisions based on our discussions. If you are considering transition, please seek professional assistance. If you are considering parenting while transitioning, you definitely need professional assistance. All contents are distributed under a Creative Commons No Derivative License and may be shared freely in their entirety. Any alteration or less than complete reproduction requires permissions of the hosts. Thanks for listening!
You'd like to get the last okay in there, don't you? That's your boy brain competing with me, huh?
He gets me.
That's the, you know, the princess man.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is that it now?
That is it.
Okay, then.
All right.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ha 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 ha!